So our passage as we start out tonight is from John 1, verses 1 through 18. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." We're going to sing a good amount of carols tonight. And so our first one is from hymn number 249, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Hymn number 250, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Above thy deep and dreamless sleep,
silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
Verse 4.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Becca Kathleen's going to come and do a special for us.
Thank you.
Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father,' so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Our next song that we're singing is "Joy to the World." Why don't you stand together with me? Hymn number 270. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Verse 4.
World with truth and grace, and makes the nations proud. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
And then hymn number 277, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Ring with healing in his wings. Mild he layeth his glory by. Born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
You may be seated. John 3:16 and 17. Say this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Kate's going to come and sing a special for us.
Thank you. unstable. Come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who He is the offering. Come, see what our God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Christ is born. Christ is born.
As you can see, my daughter just wants her mother, right? One of my chopped liver, you know. No. You can turn your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Timothy 1:15. I'll briefly open up God's Word tonight and share with you just one from one verse this evening. 1 Timothy 1:15. So have you ever asked the question in your mind, why did he come? Maybe it's a family gathering and a person that you don't recognize is there and you wonder, why did he come? Why did she come? Maybe it's a sports game for your child and you see someone that you know come, but you know they don't have a kid in the sport. So you go up to them, hey, why are you here? Why did you come? You know, we ask that question because we want to know the person's reason for coming. We know that people are purposeful in going places, meaning, you know, the normal person doesn't just wander into businesses, wander into random places, but we purposefully go somewhere. We don't mindlessly walk into these places, but we have an objective, right? You know, I need to get milk. I'm going to the store, or I'm going to this party. I'm going to celebrate someone's birthday. We go to a sports game because I want to watch this certain person play. I want to watch their certain team play. And so we go places with purpose. We go with an aim. We go with an objective. in going. Even going to the park has a purpose and goal, to get some fresh air, to have your kids play in the playground, to get a little bit of exercise. And so we go places with intent. And so we see here in the scripture passage here that Paul talks about tonight, he talks about Jesus's purpose in coming to earth. And so for those who hear this verse, you never have to ask the question of Jesus, why did he come? For the answer is given to us. And so just like we go places purposefully, and so Jesus actually came to earth purposefully. He was purposeful. And so as you look around at the surrounding verses in this passage, Paul is just utterly thankful to God for the grace of God in his life, that God saved him, that God had appointed him to serve Jesus. And in the midst of talking about these things, he talks to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says this, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." And so here in this verse, Paul brings forth this saying, this statement, and he starts out by highlighting the importance of this statement. I know, have you ever been listening to someone and you're talking to them and they're talking publicly and they say, "Okay, everyone, listen up. This is important." Or maybe you're watching a video of someone talk and they say, "This is key to remember." What do? Usually your ears perk up, you're ultra focused because you know, if I don't pay attention, maybe it's in school, if I don't pay attention, I'm going to miss something important. I'm going to miss the homework and I'm going to miss the big test. I'm going to miss the job task that I need to do. And so we pay attention, we're alert. And so likewise, that's what Paul's doing here when he says this is a trustworthy saying. He's kind of like showing us this is very important to know. This is important to remember. This is an established teaching. This is a truthful message. And it's kind of like he's making you slow down and pay attention because this is a core belief in the Christian faith. And so what we read here in 1 Timothy 1:15 is a true, it is sure, it is reliable saying. It is a trustworthy truth. This saying is reality. It is a foundational truth. And that's why Paul says it deserves full acceptance. So it should not and it cannot be partially accepted, but it must be fully accepted. So no part can be taken out of it without incapacitating the whole message. You take away the fact that we're sinners and Jesus came for no reason. You take away the fact of saving us and we're still in need of saving. You take away the fact that Jesus came into the world and we are still without hope. This message is a trustworthy statement because it is the very essence of the gospel. It is the very nucleus of the good news. And as a result, Paul says, it deserves full acceptance. So what that means, it should never be neglected, never be abandoned, never be rejected or dismissed. Jesus's whole life and mission can be summed up in this one verse. Our whole Christian life finds its basis in this statement. So if you are on a search for what is most important in life, then look no further, for this is what you need to hear. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is the content of this message. So it is important, but also we see the content. Paul says, Jesus came into the world. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, of course. The incarnation of Jesus. And as you think about that statement, it's easy to just kind of move on and not think deeply about it. It's easy to think, yes, Jesus came, Jesus was born, and kind of move on. It's almost like it's this add-on truth to our Christmas celebration. Let's read the Christmas story and get to the most important parts. That's how we sometimes act. But of course, Christmas is supposed to be the opposite. The present, the family traditions are not the main point, but rather Christ coming to earth is the point. And this coming of Jesus is the most essential event, one of the most essential events. So Paul did not see this as a small matter, but as a foundational truth of the gospel, because Jesus' coming to earth led to our saving. In fact, it was necessary for our saving. Just think about the fact that he came to the world. Doesn't it show us that Jesus' love was not mere words, but it was also action? It was backed by action. He loved us, so he came. He did something. His love acts. So he didn't just sit back and say that he loved us, but he came and did what we couldn't. He actually came. He didn't pretend to come. He didn't say he was coming and not, but he came and was born. So this historical coming is undeniable proof of his love. You know, so for some people, they like to tell you that they love you, but they never do anything for you. They never act and show that love in tangible ways. But you can never say that about Jesus. You can never say that about Jesus, because he acted on his love for us. He came when he didn't have to. So he came into this world, which is full of sin and pain. He came into this world, which is full of sinners who hated him. Get this, he came into this world knowing full well everything that would happen to him. He came knowing that he would be betrayed and spit upon and mocked, ridiculed and killed. That's the love of Jesus on display. That very love led him to come to earth. But more specifically, it led him to come with a purpose to save sinners. So Jesus didn't come to earth to just come and hang out and say hi. Right? He didn't do that just to say hi. He didn't come to just merely experience what it was like. Oh, it'd be cool to experience what it'd be like to be a human. No. He came to save. Right? He came for a purpose. He didn't mindlessly come. He didn't reluctantly come. He came willingly and deliberately. But why did it need to happen? Why did Jesus need to come? Because we're all sinners. Sinners in need of saving. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We have all sinned. No one is righteous. So think about this. Get to know anyone. I mean anyone well enough, and you will find some kind of sin present. Anyone. Even those who don't sin in overt ways sin in covert ways. So they may not yell mean things at you, but they're certainly thinking it. They may not commit adultery, but they have done so in their hearts. They may not arrogantly boast about how they're better than you, but they think it. We have all sinned in some shape or fashion. We have turned away from God's ways and lived for ourselves. And this sin deems us in need of saving, because the wages of sin is death. That is, our sin makes us deserving of death. Our sin separates us from God. It condemns us to death. And so this is the rightful eternal punishment for our sin that each of us we'll experience if we do not believe in Jesus Christ. And so understand this, deep down, though some suppress it, deep down, everyone, you know that your sin deserves punishment. Deep down. And so as you can see, we are sinners that need saving. And that's where Jesus comes in. And so that's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. So he came to be the way that we can be saved from condemnation by giving us forgiveness and life. And those are the two things that we needed. We needed forgiveness and life. We needed forgiveness so that a relationship with God could be reconciled, so that we wouldn't stand condemned because of our sin anymore. We needed eternal life so that when we physically die, we'd still live on with God in eternity. Jesus came to save, and he came to give us freedom from sin, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. And so that means without him coming, we wouldn't be saved. Without him coming to earth and being born in Bethlehem, we would still be in our sins. For someone needed to take our place. We needed someone who is both God and man, and that's Jesus. You see, we needed a man so that he could be our representative to take our place and die. But also we needed someone who was God, because they had to be perfect. They had to be sinless. And so God set it up that only through the shedding of blood there is forgiveness of sins. And that's what Jesus did. He shed his blood for us. He came. He was born. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on the cross. And it was on the cross where he took our sin. He took our place, and he paid for it. And he rose from the grave having victory over sin and death. And so now we simply, when we simply place our faith in him, we are forgiven completely. We are given eternal life. And this is all a free gift. This is the grace and love of Jesus Christ on display. He came to earth and did all of this when he didn't have to. He lived the perfect life that you couldn't live. He died the death you deserved, opening up the way to be saved. And so I want to ask you, have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved? I'm not asking if your parents are saved. I'm not asking if you were raised in a Christian home. Those are different questions. I'm asking, have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone to be saved? I'm not asking if you did some good things in life. I'm asking, did you place your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross for you? That is the only way to be saved from your sins. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." And so if you simply acknowledge that you are a sinner, acknowledge your sinful condition, and then trust in Jesus Christ to save you, you will be saved. You will be forgiven. You will be given eternal life. You see, acknowledging your sinful condition, that's a crucial part. Even Paul says, "To save sinners, of whom I am foremost." Paul understood his sinful condition, and he trusted in Christ to save him. And if he could save Paul, he can save you. If you remember, Paul, whose name was also Saul, was the early church's greatest threat. He was persecuting and ravaging the church. Yet God, in his grace and mercy, saved Paul. And so really, each of us should have the mentality of, if God can save me, he can save anybody. If God can save me, he can save anybody. And you know what? He can save anybody. There's no sin of your past that he cannot forgive. It's only because of his grace and mercy. And so we need to understand and realize that I'm a sinner, that it needs grace. And it's only because he came to the world with purpose and completed that purpose perfectly that I can be saved. There's a story told by Robert Coleman about this preacher named Dr. Charles Barry. And he says, in his younger days, Barry had struggled with the concept of the cross and its meaning. And when he began his ministry, like many people with humanistic training, he had looked upon Jesus more as a great moral teacher than a divine savior. And so he viewed Christianity as essentially living a good life. And so late one night during his first pastorate in England, he was sitting in his study, and he heard this knock on the door. And so he opened the door, and he sees this poorly dressed girl, Lancashire girl, and she says, "Are you a minister?" And getting an affirmative answer, she continued, "You must come with me quickly. I want you to get my mother in." So he imagined that it was this case of this drunken woman out on the streets, and so he said, "Why? Go and get a policeman." And the girl says, "No, my mother is dying. You must come with me to get her in to heaven." And so the young minister dressed, and he followed her through the deserted streets for more than a mile, and he went into the woman's room, and he knelt beside her, and he began describing the kindness of Jesus, explaining that he had come to show us how to live unselfishly. But suddenly, the desperate woman cut him off. She cried, "Mister, that's no use for the likes of me. I'm a sinner. I have lived my life. Can't you tell me of someone who can have mercy on me and save my poor soul?" So Dr. Berry said, "I stood there in the presence of a dying woman, and I had nothing to tell her. In order to bring something to that dying woman, I leaped back to my mother's knee, to my cradle faith, and told her of the cross and the Christ who is able to save." And tears began running down the cheeks of the woman, and she said, "Now you're getting at it. Now you're helping me." And the preacher concluded the story and said, "I want you to know that I got her in, and blessed be God, I got in myself." You see, Jesus came to save, and it is only because his work on the cross that we can be saved. That is the only way. That is the only way for our souls. You know, there's so many other things, but Jesus is the way. And he came to save sinners like you and like me. Sinners in need of grace and mercy. And this is a trustworthy message. This is an important truth. And so may the person here today that's in need of saving turn in faith to Jesus Christ, and may the person that was saved by Christ always rejoice in their Redeemer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this time, and even on Christmas Eve, as we think about, especially now this time of year, we think about Jesus coming to earth, and we just thank you, and as we're reminded tonight that you came for a purpose to save sinners. Sinners that eat like each of us. And you have provided the way to be forgiven and given eternal life. And see, we are so grateful. And I pray that if there's someone here today who has never trusted in Christ, that they would do that tonight. This is an important truth. It is an eternal truth that depends on our eternal destination. And so I pray that someone would do that today. And I pray for those who have trusted in Christ to rejoice in our Savior who came and was born. In Christ's name, amen. All right, at this point, we're going to do our candle lighting. And so what we're going to do is light all our candles and sing Silent Night, Holy Night. And so we're also turn off the lights. So if you want to get your candle ready, and then we'll start lighting them up. Go from there. But we can stand around the building. There's not many of us, so we can spread out. But we'll get the candles going. All right, Silent Night. Everyone have their... All right, I think we're... Lights on back there, and you can blow out your candles, and then you can return them to the places by the doors. But thank you once again for being here this evening on Christmas Eve and joining us, and hope you have a Merry Christmas. But that's it for our service tonight, and so God bless.